Welcome to Career Tours. This week, Resume Update 2022. The questions discussed answers are, what's your new resume guidance for 2022? What should I change on my resume for 2022? And are resumes dead?
Hey folks, Mark here, reminding you again about MT Disc. The old disc we used to sell, we had to sell at their price, which is close to $80 now. I think it may be more than $80. We've lowered MT Disc price to $30 because we wanted more people to benefit from it. It's also a heck of a lot simpler. We got rid of the numbers. We got rid of all kinds of other stuff in there that was confusing and we got a lot of questions about and didn't add any value. And the last thing is it's smarter because it focuses on how you can change your behavior to be more effective. It's $30. It's at our website. And as everything that we do at Manager Tools comes with a money back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, just let me know, send me a mail, and we'll give your money back.
Our resume guidance never changes. One page, never. Focused on responsibilities and accomplishments, what you've done and how well you've done it. With no errors, please. there are a multitude of podcasts. The first one is Your Resume Stinks, which tells you how to make a resume. And then there's a bunch of different podcasts that tell you resumes for college grads and resumes for consultants and so on that give you some more nuance. And of course, we have the resume workbook if you want all of the guidance all in one place in a workbook format with examples and so on. All of that is based on the same pieces of guidance, which is one page focused on responsibilities with accomplishments, what you've done and how well you've done it. That said, we get questions all year about things that people are seeing in the media about resumes are dead, or everybody has to do this on their resume, or the latest thing is to send pizza with your resume, or whatever it is.
Embed videos on your resume.
Right. So I think for the last 12 years, 10 years, something like that, we've done this resume update cast, and we address a couple or more of the issues that are most prevalent in the questions that we're getting, and we address why we don't think our guidance should change in the face of them, and usually why we think they're silly, or why they might be good things. Who knows? But
maybe
that's what we're doing this year.
Yeah. So our outline for this cast is, number one, consider the source. Number two is objectives are out, professional summaries are in. And number three, include keywords in your resume.
And just if you don't listen any further, two and three are bad advice that we're going to debunk.
Mm-hmm.
Was not an endorsement.
No.
The first one is consider the source. So before you take resume advice from anyone, including us, consider their qualifications, their motivations, and the relevance of their advice to your situation. The first part of doing this yearly advice for us is to go through all the questions we've been asked, go, you know, do a Google search about what's going on, what's being mentioned about resumes, what seems to be the zeitgeist. And what stood out for me this year was not one single piece of advice that seemed that everybody was given. The year that everybody said videos, but that's not what was happening this year. What stood out to me was who was behind the advice. So, for example, I read this. Before you even start working on your resume, you just need to decide how you're going to build it. And no, you shouldn't use a basic text editor. While this is the most popular method for creating a resume, it's very far from the best. With a basic text editor to a resume, you'll need to spend hours playing with the formatting. You make a minor change and bam, your whole resume layout gets messed up.
So that's a whole paragraph that you read somewhere about resume guidance.
Right. About not using a text editor, Word, whatever, but to use a resume builder. And guess what? The resume builder they recommended was the one they were selling.
What?
The advice is there just to sell their product. And look, we believe in capitalism. We believe in that company being able to sell their product, being as long as they're within the bounds of the law.
Right.
Ethically, you know, shilling their project.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they should be able to do. That's what that company should be doing. That's what companies are for.
It's very clever marketing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's biased. It's not biased or that it's good advice.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's another example. This is the blurb, right? The average resume length is 489 words. This is a standard deviation of 310 words. The median resume length is 369 words. This means that a typical resume should have a maximum of 380 words. Data indicates that the average job seeker tries to keep their resume one page long. However, most recruiters nowadays prefer two-page resumes. They are 2.9 times more likely to choose a candidate who sends a two-page resume for managerial positions, while 1.4 times more likely for entry-level positions.
That feels like real science.
Yeah, it really sounds really, really
researched
good.
And
the source of where this advice came from was a website selling project management software. And we can prove that they have no expertise because they actually stole this data from another website and didn't attribute it. And that second website took it from an unnamed survey, supposedly from a third website, but not published there. In other words, there's absolutely no evidence for these numbers whatsoever, even if they were useful, which they're not.
I have to make my resume exactly 380 words long. Okay, but that means missing out that you were VP of engineering. Like, why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. The stuff about standard deviation doesn't make any sense. And the fact that there's absolutely no research behind it is throw it out with the bathwater.
Yeah, yeah.
One more. This similar example was advice to list technical proficiencies right away. And the advice was given by the CEO of a company that provides a platform for assessing development skills. And clearly, technical proficiencies are on his mind 24/7 because he's either creating his product, which is about technical proficiencies, or because he's hiring people to work on those technical proficiencies. So that's what's foremost in his mind all of the time. But that doesn't make it good advice for you if you want to be a nurse manager, for example, because, you know, actually, they do have technical proficiencies, but not in the same way, you know, and they're qualified. So by the time you're qualified as a nurse, that's it. You have the technical proficiencies.
There's three letters that tell you they're qualified for that.
Exactly. So specific advice in a niche or specific advice by one person does not necessarily extrapolate for your situation. If a CEO in a small company says, I like three-page resumes and they have to have your sports on them, and you want to apply to his company, then do that on your resume. But that is not the resume that you want to send out to the rest of the world.
Right, exactly. There's some terrible advice out there about resume formats. To help you understand what's new, what isn't, and stand out from the competition, we've broken down the three highest impact resume formats for 2022. Reverse chronological resumes, functional resumes, combined resumes. This is the definitive resume playbook for 2022.
I love that.
Was that a good ad voice?
It was. It was marvelous. And another, list your hobbies and passions outside work. While it's key to list out your expertise and experience on your resume, providing some additional insight into yourself can help you stand out. Consider listing out leisure activities such as hiking, traveling, writing, or volunteering. You never know whose eye you might catch on the receiving end of your resume. Maybe someone who hates hiking. Especially when you can help paint a better picture of your personality. And the problem with these two pieces of advice, apart from the fact that they're awful, is that they were on, respectively, the Johnson & Johnson career site and the Fidelity Financial Services Company career website. So in this case, even though I would say that was terrible guidance, I would still follow what they said because that's what they want when you are applying to jobs in those companies.
Yeah, right? Very good point.
Consider the source doesn't only mean look for someone who's unqualified. It says look for the qualification, but also think about who is saying that and how much influence do they have on whether or not you get the job that you want.
Yeah, and if the advice that you get that contradicts ours is coming from someone who could be someone who's hiring you, right? A recruiter or, you know, a hiring manager, then yeah, you want to follow that guidance. You want to, when you're applying for their roles, right? Mm-hmm. Not just you know, you have to consider the source and focus your efforts or your what you actually turn in or give to them. Yeah, if they're outwardly saying, here's some things that we're looking for on resumes, well, yeah, I mean, heed that information. That's important to know.
Yeah, that source is so close to the job that you want, it makes sense to take their advice. Mm-hmm. But if the source is far from the job you want, such as a relative who works in a different industry or doesn't hire people, or a website that's trying to sell you resume services or project management services, or generic advice from a newspaper or a magazine, then consider carefully whether it's in your interest to take that advice, because usually it's not.
Right. One more note about newspaper or magazine or online articles is there were a lot that we, and we being mostly Wendy, so Wendy's sharing some glory here, but we found that there were 22 updates for your resume in 2022. Right? That seemed to be like a little bit of a theme.
It's a nice headline. It's nice.
It does.
It's sort of, right? I don't know if alliteration is right with numbers, but it sort of follows that alliteration thing. There's a repetition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know there's science behind articles. And I think I read that YouTube, if you wanted to start a YouTube channel, all of your videos should have a number in them, mm-hmm. right? 6 tips for this and
yes.
5 ways that you can do that. So that's key if you're looking to get clicks. But anyways, something like that, right? Playing on that year and that alliteration. Just be wary of those. If the writer can think of exactly 22 in the year 2022, it kind of suggests that he's either added some spurious ones to make the number, right? Mm-hmm. Or he's left some things off to fit the number to the year. Either way, it's a little strange, and it's probably that number that's driving the advice, not necessarily the value of the advice. I remember there was a stand-up comic who said, it was a great joke, he said, I think it was like MTV Real World, he said, mm-hmm. I heard on the news or something that MTV Real World got 50,000 applications, and I thought, wow, that's so crazy. What an even number to get.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Folks, I've talked about it a lot, but I'm going to continue doing so for many, many years to come, I'm sure, which is becoming a licensee. If you're not already a licensee, it's our most valuable product that we provide. It's only $200 a year, and it has a whole host of features. The most important thing in my mind, but maybe not in yours, is that you get access to all of our show notes for all of the podcasts for the year that you're a licensee, plus the entire history, 15, 16, 17 years worth of manager tools and career tools show notes. So if you don't want to go back and re-listen to one because it takes 30 or 40 minutes, you can just download the show notes and read it in 5 or 10 minutes. And then if you're a manager, you can share those show notes with your directs on a limited basis based on fair use. In addition, you get access to executive tools, which is only available to licensees, and that has show notes as well. You get access to Roadmap. You get access to our famous interviewing series, Resume Workbook, Effective Feedback, First Job Fundamentals. We bundled all this together in our licenses during COVID as a way of showing solidarity with what everyone was going through in their careers professionally. And we've kept it because that's what we would have wanted if we were one of you. So come to the website, sign up for a license. Thanks.
One of the pieces of advice that did appear a lot was objectives are out and professional summaries are in. And we could shortcut this by saying anytime that advice, resume advice, is described in the same way that Vogue describes hemlines, it's probably iffy. You know, the whole it's fashionable this year or hemlines are down. But this kind of statement is fashionable this year. So a resume summary, just in case you're not sure, is apparently a 2-3 sentence summary of your career. An objective is the goal of your resume. So like, I want to be a whatever.
Mm.
It communicates your motivation for getting into a new field. And these paragraphs are also described as branding statements or catchy headlines or career snapshots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some examples of that would be seeking a position at XYZ company where I can maximize my 10 years of management, quality assurance, program development, and training experience. Or experienced professional with a unique combination of technical expertise, managerial experience, business leadership, and design and production support. Lead the delivery and implementation of XYZ mission critical software system. Business analyst with 7 years of DevOps excellence.
In my head, I immediately start taking those apart. A unique combination of technical expertise and managerial experience. I bet it's not unique. You know, like immediately my head is in recruiter mode saying, okay, that means nothing. That can't be true. You know, like the whole 50,000 thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So what's funny is if you look at a lot of resume advice at one time, like Wendy gets to do, is all of them decry this type of paragraph for the same reason. They go on, then they go on to support their own viewpoint while failing to fix the problem. For example, one says that career objective paragraphs are, quote, typically full of fluffy marketing buzzwords that don't have a lot of substance, and suggests a career summary instead. The summary that they suggest then is recent graduate of a top-tier university with experience developing and analyzing cost models, performing quality assurance reviews, and building process solutions to improve forecast accuracy and compliance for internal and external clients, which is full of fluffy marketing buzzwords that don't have a lot of substance.
That's what's hilarious
just
about them.
Paragraph form.
Yes. Yeah, they literally criticize one person's, you know, whatever they're calling the summary, the objective, the headline or whatever. And then when they suggest one, it falls into that trap. And it's just hilarious when you read them.
Yeah.
And one site we found says recruiters will skip this section altogether, which is true, which is why we don't recommend them.
Yeah.
Because there is absolutely nothing in them that gives us any idea of what you've done or how well you've done it. So a recent graduate can be a graduate from 2020. I would still call that recent. So now I still have to go down to the bottom of their resume and look and see which year they graduated. So you've just wasted two words. A top-tier university. Okay, well, your idea of top-tier and my idea of top-tier might be different.
Yeah.
It's different US versus international. It's different depending on what course you did. Top-tier in some courses is not the same as top-tier. So now I've got to go to the bottom of the resume and I've got to look at the university you went to and then I've got to compare it with the degree you've got. And so literally, that's half a line that's completely wasted because it tells me nothing.
What if they have a top-tier business school, but you got your degree in kinesiology?
Exactly. Yeah.
And
it's
what
not
if
the same.
What if you only consider there to be two tiers? Well, 50% of them are in the top tier.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, there's so much. And you know what's interesting, Wendy, is these sites that say, well, recruiters are going to skip this section anyway, they're still the sites that recommend you leave it in.
Which, again, is hilarious. Like, why would you keep something in that you've just said is useless?
Hey, we know this doesn't work, and do it.
Yeah. You know, performing quality assurance reviews doesn't tell us anywhere near enough about what you were doing and how well you were doing it in order to decide whether or not you're a good candidate for the role we have. If you did one quality assurance role every 3 months and hours, we need you to check 5 things an hour, that's a very different job description.
Oh, yeah.
It's very different skills. It's very different energy level. And I need to know how many did you do and how many faults did you find, for example, not that vague sentence of I performed quality reviews.
Yeah. Like, for instance, you could say completed approximately 100 unit tests across browser capability, UX, and device mode testing within the allotted time.
So now I know what kind of tests you were doing, how many you were doing, whether or not you were doing it well.
Right, exactly. And listen, you can't include everything on your resume. It's the headlines, not the story. I think we've said that before.
Yeah.
But it's pointless to waste space with unqualified statements like performance or performing quality assurance reviews. We can do better than that.
Whatever it's called, the objective, the summary, the headline, the statement, whatever people are calling it, the paragraph that goes at the beginning of your resume, which is supposed to give an overview of who you are and why you're right for this job, is pointless. No recruiter reads it. The information either needs to be specific and included in your responsibilities and accomplishments, or compared with the job requirements in your cover letter, but not in a paragraph of its own that sounds like marketing fluff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our next topic, or our next point here, is include keywords in your resume. Last year, it was AI. This year, writers about resumes have gone back 30 years and are talking about keywords all over again. Keyword advice was hot in the 90s when ATS, or applicant tracking systems, were first introduced. You can ignore this advice. If you have the right qualifications for the job, you will have the right keywords in your resume, and it will be found by hiring managers and recruiters, period.
So the theory about worrying about keywords comes from a fundamental misunderstanding about applicant tracking systems. So those are the systems that companies have on the other side of your resume submission. So you post it, mail it through the website, and it goes into this applicant tracking system. And outsiders imagine them to be just like Google. They think it's like the most slick website that you've used this week.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to optimize it for the search engine, right?
Right, exactly.
The SEO stuff. Yeah.
So here's how one article described the process. For example, if you're a graphic designer, you probably have a lot of experience with Adobe Creative Cloud. Adobe's software bundle that includes standards like Photoshop and Illustrator. But say the job description mentions only Adobe Creative Suite, its former name. Mm-hmm. If you have Adobe Creative Cloud on your resume, but the hiring manager searches the ATS for Adobe Creative Suite, you could be excluded from the results, even though you possess the exact skill set that they're looking for. In this example, you want to optimize your Adobe experience by changing the resume keyword to Adobe Creative Suite.
The problem with this, though, is that this is not how recruiters or how ATSs work. An ATS isn't like Google, where you get hundreds of returns, the first 20 pages of which are relevant, and the first page has the right answer for you 99% of the time. Hiring managers rarely are interfacing with the ATS, right? That's usually the recruiter or someone in recruiting. So if the recruiter is looking for a graphic designer with Adobe experience, and they entered into the ATS graphic designer Adobe Creative Suite, they'd maybe get two results from thousands of resumes. And there's no guarantee that those results would actually be graphic designers, because, just quite frank, ATSs just aren't that accurate. So instead, recruiters put in much more vague terms. You might just put in graphic designer, or you might put in graphic designer Adobe, and then search through, hopefully, 20 or 30 results for the kind of person with the experience that you're looking for.
So this same website gave the top 10 words that you should include in your resume if you have hope to be found. And they were design, operations, technical, training, sales, marketing, reporting, compliance, strategy, and research. And I'm a little bit confused as to why you would put sales in if you've never worked in a sales job. But anyway, but we can promise you, if you work in marketing and you have compliance or research or strategy experience, those words are on your resume as a result of you describing your responsibilities and accomplishments. What they used to do is write a paragraph of things like, like that list, design, operations, technical, and then make the text white so it couldn't be seen by a human, but the machine could see it. Like, you don't need to do that, because if you've done strategy as a marketing executive, it's on your resume.
Yeah, it's there organically, right? Mm-hmm. It's there genuinely. It's there because it's what you've done, not as a contrived, manufactured way to get hits.
Exactly. And there's no way that a recruiter is looking for a marketing manager, strategic research, compliance, and excluding you because you didn't include those words on your resume. It's just like they're looking for marketing manager. That's it.
Right. Exactly. So we can't prove this to you, but perhaps this will help. The default number of resumes returned on the Taleo platform, one of the biggest ATS platforms, is 300. If they had any certainty that the correct candidate would be returned in the first 10 resumes, the default would be 10 or maybe 20.
Right.
But it's not. The expectation is that recruiters will comb through hundreds of resumes, which means the search can't be that accurate. And therefore, the terms that recruiters use to search have to be vague enough to give them a big enough net, right? So worrying about having a great resume that represents what you've done and how well you've done it is the important thing here, not what keywords are on it.
And I also tested the scenario given above, the Adobe Suite scenario, on LinkedIn's recruiter platform because I could get access to that. And for both options, so whether I put in Adobe Creative Cloud or Adobe Creative Suite, I got exactly the same list of candidates. The systems just are not fine-tuned enough to differentiate between the two. And this worry is built on a false premise, which what makes me angry is there's people who are working on the keywords on their resume instead of building their network, talking to people, looking for jobs, sending their resume to places. Mm-hmm. And this is delaying what they want, which is a new job.
You correct me if I'm wrong, but I would argue here that even if you're listening to us and you're saying, no, I don't agree. I don't agree. I do think that systems are more sophisticated than that. And they're more in, you know, whatever. They're smarter than that. Well, then assume that they're smart enough that, like Google, if a recruiter typed in something that didn't exactly match your keywords, the system would be smart enough. How many times have you searched on Google when it said, did you mean this?
Yes.
Right?
It's one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
It's either hopeless or...
Right. Whether you either believe us that they're not sophisticated enough and you don't need to worry about it, or believe that they are that smart and the system will catch it anyways. We'll get you, you know, we'll get the right information off of your genuine resume with the actual words from the vernacular that you've used in that industry or in that role.
That's a really good point. I wish I'd written it in there. So I was smart. Resumes are not going away. They're not, nor do they need to change. They are not the best way to convey what we want to say to an employer. But all the other ways are worse. Video is way worse. This whole, like, have an interview with a robot thing, worse. The most important things on a resume are not going to change: what you've done and how well you've done it. If you can show what you've done and how well you've done it clearly and concisely, your resume will do its job, which is to get you an interview. And after that, it's all up to you.
That's right.
Thanks, Andrew. That was fun.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.